Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business, by business owners, for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. My guest today is Scott Madera, and Scott is going to be sharing with us how we can live an inspired life as a business owner and how we need to find our calling and then master our time. Now, Scott and his wife, Kerry, took inspired stewardship as a business to serve Christian men and couples that are struggling to live out their calling. They work to help align the way they use their time, talent, and treasures so that you can identify and live a fully authentic life that allows you to authentically live your calling, serve others, and provide for your family. As certified human behavior senior consultants and members of the John Maxwell team, they focus on helping you understand yourself, understand others, and through that understanding, build the kingdom. In 2017, they took the business full-time, offering assistance through one-on-one coaching, speaking, and workshops. And his book, Inspired Living, Assemble the Puzzle of Your Calling by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures, was published by Morgan James in 2024. Scott, welcome to Talking with the Experts. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about, what got you into doing what you're doing.
So I actually started my career journey as a school teacher. So I actually went to school to become a medical researcher. I did medical research for a little while, have a couple of hard science degrees, did all of that work. Kind of burned out on that because I figured out that medical research was really more about chasing grant money than it was about doing research and helping people. And so I pivoted, became a school teacher. I did that for 16 years, taught middle school, taught high school. I obviously taught science, really enjoyed that. But again, it just a lot of long hours, low pay. I pivoted and then went into the corporate world. I did that for 11 years and kind of moved myself up into a senior position, running a team of people, big budget, flying all over the country, clients, doing all of that sort of thing. It was still in the educational field, but it was in the corporate private sector. And throughout all of that, as I began to reflect on what were the things that I really got energy from, what was the things that I most enjoyed, what was the things that I had the most success at, felt like I had the most natural giftings at, the common factor tended to be those things where I was developing and supporting and bringing others up. So, for instance, in the corporate job, I was a leader that had leaders reporting to me, and my job was to help those leaders be successful so that their teams could be successful. You know, when I was in teaching, I was always that teacher that wasn't just about the curriculum. It was much more about the interactions and the learning and the engagement and that sort of thing. So as I reflected on that, I realized that, hey, what I could do is coach, and that would allow me to do more of those things that I kind of felt was authentic to who I am and not have to do some of these other things that weren't necessarily authentic to who I am. My wife and I kind of went through our own period of financial struggles. And because of that, we had people coming to us and kind of going, wow, y'all really turned things around. How did you do it? And so those two kind of things kind of intersected at the same time in the same place of, people are asking me for help. I could help people and turn this into a business. And so that's where the coaching came from. I started it part-time while I was still in the corporate job, I took client calls from hotel rooms and all sorts of places. I built the business to be virtual from day one because of that. And I've kept it that way ever since. And that was sort of the launch of Inspired Stewardship, was just at people coming and asking for money help. And then over time, we realized, well, they're struggling in money. They're usually struggling in time. And eventually I figured out what I would call myself as a stewardship coach, because I would help people with time, talent, and treasures. And that's kind of what we've been doing ever since.
Wonderful journey, Scott. It sounds, quite an interesting way to find out what your calling is. And as a business owner, How do we, you know, we go from one sort of idea to the next idea to the next idea. And I'm talking mainly about, you know, online businesses. I'm not talking so much bricks and mortar. How do we find our true calling? You know, how do we find what the true authentic fit for us is when we've, you know, maybe dabbled in different ways of doing stuff?
So a lot of folks, and business owners have this happen. Folks that are in the corporate world have this happen. Folks that are, you know, kind of doesn't matter what you're doing. We often have the same experience of trying to figure out, wait a minute, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? You know, what is that thing that I have as a calling? And I'm going to separate and let me clarify. So there's a difference to me between your calling and your career. Your assignment or your role and the thing that kind of lays behind it or below it or throughout it. And that calling is that deeper thing that kind of it's the thread that runs behind all of those different roles and assignments. So for a lot of us, you know, we could have a career and we could have a calling, and sometimes they overlap a little bit, and sometimes they don't overlap at all, and sometimes they overlap a whole bunch. I like to think if you can to get as much overlap as you can. Now, at the same time, it's never going to be complete. You know, guess what? We still have to wash the laundry. We still have to do the dishes. You know, I've never had anyone come to me and be like, yo, laundry, that's my calling. You know, that doesn't happen. There's stuff like that that we still have to do. Same thing happens in business. There's work that you have to do just because you have to do it. But at the same time, if you can begin to align those things, then what you find is you get more energy, you have more joy, you have more skill and more success, and it kind of 10Xs your business and keeps growing it. So as to how you find it, I kind of ask people to do a combination of a couple of exercises, and these are in the book as well. The first one is kind of a looking back exercise. So this is sitting down and kind of like what I was talking about a minute ago, where I went back and I said, hey, what are all the things I've done in my life? What are all of the different activities I've done? And I went beyond just jobs. I went into things like, you know, when I was a CAP counselor, or whenever I was in the Boy Scouts, whatever, anything that I could think of. And I began to write down beside that, what were things about this activity that I loved? What were the things that gave me energy? What were the things that brought me joy? What were the things that, you know, when I did that part of it, it was like, wow, I could do this all day long. And then I made another column and I said, okay, what are all the things about that activity that I didn't love? What are all the things that drained my energy? What were the things that I just kind of had to get through? And then I began looking for patterns in that past kind of set of activities and thinking about what are the common factors? You know, what are the things that keep showing up that give me energy? And what are the things that keep showing up that take my energy from me? So that's the looking back half. The second half is to look forward. So the way I set this one is, again, remember, I was in the corporate world. I spent a lot of time in airports. So I set this in an airport, kind of in honor of that. Imagine for a minute, you're walking through an airport. You've been flying home and you've got that layover. So you land and you've got maybe an hour long layover. Then you're going to get on a plane and you're going to fly the rest of the way home. And as you walk up to the gate for your flight, you go, great, it's delayed. Those dreaded words. And it's a 4-hour delay. So you do what anyone does when they're stuck for 4 hours at an airport in between. You go to find a restaurant or a bar and have a drink or have a bite to eat. You know, that's what you're going to do. So you walk in, and as you're walking into the restaurant, you look up and you see a friend that you haven't seen for the last 5 years. This is 5 years in the future, and you just lost contact. You've moved on. You haven't seen this person for 5 years. And as they look at you, they go, hey, Rose, it's so great to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. Do you have a few minutes? And you're like, yeah, I've got a 4-hour layover. They go, hey, I've got a 3-hour layover. So you go grab a quiet corner, you sit down, and you begin to eat together. And as they look at you across the table, they say, you know, Rose, how have you been? And you say, you know what? This has been the best 5 years of my life. And what I tell people is your job is now to write what would come after that. What would you say to your friend that would make you say, man, these next 5 years have been the best 5 years of my life? What would your career look like? What would your spiritual walk look like? What would your relationships look like? What would your finances look like? What would your time look like? What would all of those different areas of your life look like? And begin to spell that out. And again, what you're doing is by looking backwards and looking forwards like that, you're beginning to look for those patterns that show up, not just about what should I do for a living, what should my career be, but what are the things that drive me that I could also potentially turn into a business or a career or a job or whatever it is, and look for those overlapping things. And it doesn't necessarily find your exact calling, but it's the thing that's going to begin to move you, because I really think finding your calling is a process of discovering it and uncovering it. I don't think it really ever gets handed to us complete with a big bow on it and says, "No, this is it. It's perfect for all time. This is what you shall do." It's more of a journey and a process of discovering. But I found that's a good way to get started on that journey.
Yeah, I'm still sort of, I'm a really heart-centered person and I'm a giver. Mm-hmm. And I think that is my calling, is just to find things that allow me to use that to make the world a better place, you know, or make someone feel good for the day, or, you know, maybe mend someone's broken heart, you know, with a smile or just anything. So I think that is my calling.
And that would be an example of a calling, because notice that's not a specific career or specific role, but it's a drive that can show up in a lot of different roles and careers and assignments and things that you do.
Absolutely.
That's a great example.
I agree. And moving on, and you did mention about mastering our time and our money. And a lot of us find that a real challenge, you know, time and money are two separate things. So how can we master either or both of them at the same time?
So it turns out that a lot of the frameworks that work for one work for the other. So this is one of the reasons that as I began to work with people on money, I found out, you know, I can help them with time too, because it turns out that the thinking and the frameworks are the same. So a couple of the, you know, the reason why, by the way, is because they're both finite resources. You only have so much of either one. I don't care how much you make, you've still got a finite amount of money. And I've worked with people that make extremely large amounts of money, and I've worked with people that are struggling, you know, barely making any money. They've all got limits. You know, there's still a point where they're like, I can't do that. So the same thing happens to us with time. So the first framework is to step back and realize that you actually don't have a time or a money problem. You actually have a you problem. Because at the end of the day, the way we handle our time and the way we handle our money is actually about how we handle ourselves. It has to be that way, because if both of those are finite resources, if you only have so much time or have so much money, then at the end of the day, it's not them that's really creating that limit. It's your behavior, your attitude, your actions with those resources, because they're just a tool. They're just a resource. And so that's the first realization. Now, you know, that's kind of one of those good news, bad news things, because the good news is you're also the solution to that problem. You know, the bad news is you're the problem. The good news, you're also the solution. So we can change the way we act with money. We can change the way we act with time. So I'll give you a quick one with time. Really small, subtle shift, but it will make massive differences in the decisions that you make. Imagine for a minute that, you know, most of us, when somebody says, "How are things going? How's the day been?" we reflectively will say something like, "Well, I'm busy, right? I've been busy. Think about what the word busy means. Busy just means I did a bunch of stuff. Busy doesn't actually have anything to do with making anything happen. You know, you could literally take a rock from one side of the backyard and move it to the other side and then move it back and then move it back and then do that all day long and you'd be busy. I don't think anyone would say that was productive, right? So the shift is to shift your language a little bit. I've had people say something to me like, you know, "I don't have time to make my daughter's dance recital. You know, I don't have time to go on date night with my wife." Especially business owners, a lot of times we cram so much into the business that we'll start giving up things like that because, well, we've got a client or we've got a customer or we've got something that we have to do for work. So here's this language shift. Instead of saying, "I don't have time," fill in the blank, change it to, "It's not a priority for me to." That's all you have to do. Because all of a sudden, if you said, "It's not a priority for me to go on date night with my wife," that feels completely different than "I'm too busy" or "I don't have time." I'm sorry.
The wife might have different ideas about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, and even your friends will. You know, if you tell your, if you tell a, another you know, worker or another business owner, you know, I'm so busy, I can't go on date night with my wife. They kind of look at you and go, oh, you, I understand. I'm busy too. You know, oh, it's just, you know, it's so hard to be. We commensurate with that. But if you tell them it's not a priority for me to go to my daughter's dance recital, they'll smack you upside the head. You know, they'll be like, dude, really? You got to go. You know, come on, let's go. And you'll, by the way, you'll smack yourself because you'll realize that that's, and by the way, that's the truth. The truth is you've got enough time to do anything. You just don't have enough time to do everything. So at the end of the day, you've got to pick and choose, where do I spend my time? This is a priority. This is not. Therefore, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. Notice that framework and that thinking works the exact same way with budget. That, you know, with money, that's all a budget is a budget is sitting down and writing down on paper, hey, I'm going to do this with money and I'm not going to do that with money. That's really all it is. It's the same kind of framework and thinking of deciding what are the priorities for me, what are not the priorities for me, and then executing on that. Now, one of the reasons that people hire me is because as a coach, part of my job is to A, help you do that, and B, it's to help hold you accountable to doing it. Because at the end of the day, it's real easy to say this stuff and it's easy to understand it. It's not actually easy to implement it. It's really hard to follow through and do it, which is why so many of us end up in money problems and, you know, busy and not getting anything done.
Yeah, and accountability for self is always really important. And you need to make yourself aware that one, you can't give from an empty glass. You've got Absolutely. To make sure that you are, you know, topped up, that you are at the peak of your game, so that you have the opportunity to give to other people. Mm-hmm. But having said yep. that, you know, it doesn't mean that you prioritize yourself first and foremost all the time, because it's important that you prioritize others. And, you know, and because something is not important in that moment, it may be important down the track. So mm-hmm. I think you really need to, as you say, set your priorities and make the things that are really important something that, you know, that you put on your list to do, and make sure that you do it and don't pay lip service to the fact that, yes, I'm going to do this and then not show up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's so I actually, one of the things I talk about is this kind of fourfold framework, which I call, you know, invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence and impact the world. The idea behind that is the invest in yourself is before you can help other people, you've got to develop yourself in terms of skills, in terms of abilities, in terms of knowledge, also in terms of just self-care. You know, if your battery's drained, you're not as good at helping other people as when, you know, your battery's full. So you, what are you doing? And that's not being selfish. That's not being self-centered. That's making sure that you've developed yourself to the level that you can. Then you can begin to serve others. So it's out of your abundance, as you said, that you begin to serve other people. Naturally, when you do those two things, you begin to develop influence, kind of like what I was talking about, where my wife and I went through our own journey, getting out of debt, struggling with money, and people observe that. People then begin going, how did y'all do that? That was influence, you know, and it didn't happen because we walked around going, hey, look at us. Look at how great we are. We just did it. And people saw it and went, huh, I'd like to learn from you. And it was kind of a natural influence. And then from that comes impact. Because now you begin to touch and reach and contact and develop and change other people. And again, at the end of the day, really all any business is about solving a problem for someone else in exchange for value. Now, that problem may be a physical product, that problem may be a service, that there's all sorts of different ways we do that. But at the end of the day, that's really all we're doing as business owners. So it is that idea of, you know, invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence and impact the world. To me, that is the formula for business as well as personal kind of growth and development.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you've got to invest in yourself first. If you don't mm-hmm. invest in yourself, you can't possibly give anything to anyone else. It's just mm-hmm. too hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I guess I'd really like to know a little bit about your podcast, Scott.
Sure. So I've been podcasting since 2018. I started it January 8th of 2018. The podcast name is Inspired Stewardship, the same as my business name. I've got about probably closing in on 1600 episodes now. At one time I was podcasting 6 days a week. So currently I just release twice a week. I release a solo episode on Tuesdays and an interview on Mondays. But at one time I was doing it 6 days a week. So that's why I've got so many episodes, in case anyone's sitting there going 2018 and now and counting and going, how did you do that? So in the basic idea of it, the premise is it, is we work on those areas of time, talent, and money. So I bring on guests and experts that have some sort of expertise in that. We talk a lot about business and leadership and development. As well. And, you know, one of the nice things about calling it stewardship is I think everything kind of falls under that framework of you got to steward your resources. So I get to talk to people that I like to talk to, and usually that topic will fit.
Interesting. I guess it's available anywhere that podcast streaming platforms are.
Yeah, you can pretty much find it, you know, iTunes or any of the big streaming services. I've got it, had it out there, you know, on pretty much all iHeart, Spotify. So pretty much if you listen to podcasts on it, you can probably find it as Inspired Stewardship.
Wonderful. And you can find it on YouTube too at Inspired _ Stewardship. So check out his episodes on there. Look, Scott is available on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. His website is inspiredstewardship.com. And do you have something that you'd like to offer our listeners is from the website talking?
Yeah, absolutely. So I put together a landing page just for your listeners. If you go to inspiredstewardship.com and then just /experts, that has some free resources, some of those exercises that we were just talking about. There's kind of some downloads for those that'll walk you through them over about a 5-day period. There's information about my book, Inspired Living. My podcast, and as well, there's a place that you could jump on and have a 30-minute call with me if you're interested in coaching or talking more about any of the services that I do. You can find all of that over at inspiredstewardship.com/experts.
Wonderful. Now, is it talking or experts? I'm not really sure because you've...
I think I put it as experts.
Okay. Just want to double check, but yeah. Anyway, we'll move on from that. Tell me a little bit about your book while you're doing that, Scott.
So the book came out as last year in July. And basically the premise of it was to make sure that we took the concepts and the things that I was doing in my coaching with a lot of business owners and a lot of folks that were dealing with those areas of time, talent, and treasures and broke it down, kind of put it together into a framework that anyone could kind of pick up and do. So it's really kind of designed as a workbook. There's action questions at the end of each chapter so that it kind of walks you through those exercises. The analogy is about putting together a puzzle, because I think a lot of times, like I was talking about, assembling our calling is kind of a journey, a discovery process. So that's that idea of putting together a puzzle. Of course, the beauty of the puzzle that we put together when it comes to our calling is the pages don't really fit together. The picture changes all the time. The pieces morph a little bit, you know, because our life is always changing. But at the same time, it's still that same idea of trying to figure out what is it that we really are supposed to be doing and putting ourselves a little closer to that each and every day.
Wonderful. And available where?
Anywhere books are sold, it's available pretty much everywhere that books are sold. So it's as Inspired Living, and then the subtitle is Assemble the Puzzle of Your Calling by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures.
Wonderful. All right. So we'll make sure you get a copy of that, listeners, and learn all about how to manage your time and find your calling, because I think it's really important that you know, sometimes a lot of us don't find our calling in life. We just, you know, plod along and just do what we think we're meant to be doing rather than finding what really truly makes us happy and what lights us up.
Absolutely.
Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure. I just wanted to know before we go if you have anything else that you'd like to share with our audience today.
You know, at the end of the day, what one of the things that I like to tell everyone is just be inspired. Do the things that bring you energy, that inspire you, that feed your soul. I think if more of us did that, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, I totally agree with that 100%. Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.